right? So Mother's Day is for the whole year, for the whole life. Mothers are wonderful people. Mother means, when you hear the word mother, it spells love. That unconditional sacrificial love of God. You know, you can see it in mother. There is no other relationship that is so perfect. That, you know, when I think of my first baby, when I was pregnant, I was told that I'm pregnant. So that from that day onwards, the restrictions started on my life, you know, what to do, what not to do, what to eat, what not to eat, you know. And even when I used to come down from the steps, I was told, come on, hold the railing, walk slowly, don't do this, don't run, you know, take a slow step. All that way. In love, it was said, but you know, we have so many restrictions as mothers when we want to be mothers. It is a beautiful, beautiful mother and daughter or son relationship. Wherever your mothers are, make sure, call them, go to them, and say hello to them and say, I love you, Mom, I miss you, Mom. Let us pray. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. We worship you, Lord. We adore you, Master, because your love is more than any other love. That love you have shared and put it in the hearts of the mothers, O God. And so that we experience your love, Holy Spirit, God. And we thank you for all the mothers throughout the world, the mothers who have been able to good to the children, the mothers who have been strict, the mothers who have not been able to good, O Master, for whatever circumstances there in their lives, I pray and I surrender them into your hands. O Holy Spirit, God, take charge of all the mothers sitting here at this moment, Lord God, and give them good health, long life, and prosperity in spirit, Lord Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know, when I was told to speak on Mother's Day, and I saw the scriptures, it was about the Holy Spirit. I said, now how am I going to, you know, coordinate with this Holy Spirit? It's totally a powerful subject, Holy Spirit. And it's on the Mother's Day. How am I going to incorporate in that? So, but you know, God has an amazing plan. First, I gave the title of the sermon. I said, the breathtaking promise of God, because I was reading scripture. Some part it touched me. And then I said, I live. I changed the title afterwards. First, it was the breathtaking title of, but then I said, it's going to be a little different. Praying, Jesus praying for us, no. I live, ye shall also live. That was so powerful and touching to my heart. You know, what a promise. What a promise for us. That he said, he's praying to God to send the Holy Spirit. And then he says, I am going to live in you. You know, I'm not going to leave you. I live, we have a proof of Easter. He lived, right? And so you shall be live. So we are also going to live. Who doesn't want to live forever, tell me? Don't you want to live forever, healthy, happy, and beautiful? Yes or no? Yes, we all want to live forever. And we want our children to live. We want everybody to live. No one should die, right? And that is what he gave us. That is the promise that we are holding in our hands. A powerful promise, a wonderful promise. That he lives, so shall we also live. We will also live, that is a promise. Yes, the worldly thing is there, the body is dust to dust, it goes back. But he's talking about beyond that body. He's talking about that, he's giving that assurance, that blessed assurance, that you are going to live forever. Because I have proved it to you that I live. The birth of a child. You know, like I said, when we are told that we are going to be mothers, it's a different world we enter. It's totally a different world we enter. The mother is the one who is rejoicing the most. Of course, the family rejoices, but we have certain things we are not supposed to do, we are supposed to do, and we even the food. even the food, you know, when you have morning sickness, you can't eat anything. I was told that I'm supposed to drink milk. I hate milk. I cannot take milk. But he said, it's good for the baby. You know, everything was good for the baby, so you have to take it. You know, in love, but all these things comes in our life as a package, and we have to do it so that the baby is healthy and safe. The baby should grow, and you know, the baby should come into this world as a healthy baby. A mother will make everything possible for that baby right from the womb. And when the baby is born, what happens? When the baby comes into this world, there's a lot of pain a mother goes through while the baby is coming in this world. Labor pains. Oh my God, what a time. And then when the baby comes, the baby is, oh, what a relief we have a baby now. A beautiful baby. Everybody is rejoicing. But do you ask a mother in the night time, during the daytime, what happens to the mother? Whole night she'll be awake. The baby, when he's in the mother's womb, is floating in the water all the time. 9 months he floats in the water, right? And then the moment he comes out in the world, the moment he wet his diapers, immediately he cries, right? He won't keep quiet because he can't take that wet. So you have to get up in the morning, ten times, change the nappies, feed the babies, make sure the baby is all right throughout the night. And during the day, you have to do so many things for the baby. And you keep that the baby keeps growing and growing, and you are enjoying the baby. The mother never complains. The mother never says, oh, I'm tired. Oh, I'm not going to take care of the baby. No matter anybody takes care of the baby or not, the mother is always there. And the baby, as the baby grows up, cooking, taking to school, bringing back from school. I'm not saying the fathers don't do that. Nowadays, the fathers have equal help. But, you know, usually it's the mother. She does the housework. Now the mothers are go to work also. And they come home and take care of everything. That is the beautiful thing about a mother. Without complaint, she keeps doing and doing and doing, never asking anything in return. Even when you go out to school, the mother is worried. Mother thinks, where is my baby? You know, nowadays they track telephone, you know, they have a track. Where is the baby, where the child is gone, where she's in the bus, where she's in the train. My niece lives with me now. She goes to Manhattan to school. So she has a restriction that as soon as she leaves the house, board the train in the Hicksville station, she has to text me that she's boarded. But when she comes back from Manhattan, the moment she leaves the college, she has to text me. And she texts not only me, to her mother or father, everybody gets the text that she's boarding the train from Manhattan to Hicksville. And sometimes when she's late, she get down at the Hicksville station, and then she calls all of us that I'm out of Hicksville train and I'm walking in the parking lot towards home. You know, all, why? Because, not because we don't trust our babies, because we want to make sure that our children are safe. This is what we do. The mother's duty is never ending. Even if the children are grown up, even if they are old enough, still the worry goes on. Whom she's meeting, is that person right, is her friend right? Either godly friend or ungodly friend, you know, all the time you are worried about your children. That is the job of a mother. And I don't think anybody else can match that. We love others, yes, there are relatives, there are friends, there are cousins, aunts, everybody. We love each other, but the mother's love is a special love. Now, Bible talks about different mothers. Every mother doesn't have the privilege of a happy married life and happy having children and bringing up in a proper way. It doesn't have the circumstances that can put her down. Take an example of Rachel, Ruth. So many examples are there. Hannah. Just now we saw the story of Hannah. This poor woman, she didn't have a baby and she was crying for a baby because people were making fun of her. Sarah. And all these women were considered barren. They didn't have children for long. So only when God intervenes, they had a blessed opportunity to become a mother. But still there are so many incidents. In our own lives we see the mothers. Some marriages are disrupted by divorce. The children, if there is a child, the child suffers. The child goes to the father half the time and half the time stays with the mother. That's the court decides. And when it happens, if the mother is godly, to take the child to the church and teach godly things, it's fine. But when he goes to the other parent, side of the family, the father may have a wife, he may have children, and that stepmother may not be the same. It's a difficult life for a child. He learns something there, he comes and learns something here. The child is confused. That is the trauma mother goes through. Oh, my child, I want to bring my child in this way, and this is not happening. The child is in trauma, the mother is in trauma. All those situations throughout our world. It's not, motherhood is not always a beautiful thing, because it's not the sort of thing that one size fits all. That's not like that. Every mother have a different journey. Every mother have different things in their lives. But she copes up with it. She copes up with all the situations. Thank God for the mothers, for the women who have good husbands. Thank God for the women who have a nice, happy life, married life. That is beautiful. But let us talk about both the mothers, both sort of mothers who are happy and lucky to have a good married life, good husband, and good children, and good people to support around. And let us talk about, remember those who didn't have such a life. The circumstances made them sad, angry. It's not always a fairy tale, when a woman gets married, it's always not a fairy tale. But sometimes the fairy tale remains a fairy tale for long, forever, but sometimes it does not. But I can talk about one love that is perfect. That is the love of God, a perfect love of God. God's love never changes. No matter what situations are there, no matter how difficult things are, it doesn't change. This story began more than 2,000 years ago of a mother called Mary. She was engaged to Joseph. That means, in those days it took a year, I believe. And for a year, when you are engaged, the husband had to build a room or extension to the house, whatever, and prepare the place for the coming wife. So it takes 1 year. So she was engaged and she was waiting to be married, having dreams that, oh, my husband is going to build something for me and I'm going to be married and I'm going to have all good things and I'm going to have a beautiful life. And amidst of that, the angel of the Lord appears and says, Mary, you're going to have a baby. Can you imagine the trauma of that mother? In those days especially. Nowadays though it's different, but in those days it was, the death penalty was there. So she said, she chose to be obedient to God. She said, yes, Lord. First she was, how can it be? But then she said, okay, Lord, if you are saying it, I'm ready for it. And we know what all she must have gone through. After going all through that, this child, that God has promised, this was a unique child. His name was Jesus. He was supposed to be born. And this child was not a child of a little egg fertilizing in the ovary or something. That is not the story. It is beyond that story. This child was a child of God, and this was the Holy Spirit. God's Holy Spirit was in the mother's womb and covered with the flesh and blood. And this baby was growing in the womb. And when this baby came into this world, God had a plan. It was not just God didn't want it to show that, okay, I can do anything to the world. You know, this is so amazing. This is so fascinating. God can do. No, it was not that. God had a beautiful, beautiful plan. And he chose Mary for that because God knew she was obedient. God knew that this child, this woman is going to obey me. So the obedience, there's so much importance to obedience. And when Mary was obedient and the child came into this world, he was the savior of this world. And when he was old enough to spread the word of God, to tell about God, you know, his situations were different every time. He had to face so many things. People doubted. People said, oh, a carpenter's son? Isn't he not the carpenter's son? What is he teaching? Some said it's blasphemy he's teaching. But it went on and on because that was the plan of God, to bring the message, to show this world that has forgotten, who getting drowned in the sin. He wanted to send somebody that we can identify with, the humanity could identify with. If God had come on this earth, do you think this earth could have worn that power of Holy Spirit, the power of God? No. So he said, I'm going to send somebody who looks like my creation. So God had this plan. He chose Mary, and Mary was obedient. And because Mary was obedient, she was chosen, and she gave birth to the Savior of this world. This is the story of a woman, you know. This is how it began, the most beautiful, most amazing story that ever could happen in this world. And now, when this story happened, God was wondering, I have created this beautiful world, and I have created this creature, human being, and I thought this human being is going to be forever. He so loved the world, right? He created us. He wanted us to remain there forever. But our sins were so much that God said, now what am I to do? I don't want to destroy. I don't want them to perish. I have to have something that I can save this human beings. How can I do that? Jesus came. He looked like us. He walked with us. He talked with us. He spread the message of his heavenly Father. And he kept saying, his disciples questioned him. He said, okay, show us the Father, then we will understand. There was lack of understanding. They couldn't believe. I don't blame them, you know. They were brought up in a atmosphere, in the culture that was, you know, one God, and nobody can see God. When Moses saw, it was in the burning bush. So there was no form of God. And how anybody could believe that this human being can be something of God, something like God. But God was still executing his plan, this beautiful plan. So God said, okay, now let me tell them what they are supposed to do. And very gently, very beautifully, Jesus started telling people, this is what it should be. Because God loves you. And Heavenly Father doesn't want you to perish. So what I am saying, listen. Listen and remember. Don't forget. And obey what I am saying. And he preached, he gave all the messages. When the time came when he had to leave this world, he started telling more things to his disciples because he knew that, you know, when I go away, these people will, you know, what will they do? They are weak. They are precious. They have fears. They have doubts. How will they obey? What am I to do? So he promises. He promises them and said he knew that he's giving a tough task to them, to spread the word. He said, when I go away, I'm going to send you a comforter. I'm going to send you a comforter who's going to be with you, who's going to abide with you, and who's going to be with you forever. And this comforter, the Holy, when we talk about Holy Spirit, we say Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit. But do we know what Holy Spirit is? It's not something vague. It's not, it doesn't have a form. Who is it? Is it it? No, it's He. Holy Spirit is a person. Holy Spirit is not it, it is He. So He's promising that He says, I'm going to pray to God, to my Heavenly Father. He'll send you a Holy Spirit who will stay with you, who will guide you, who will teach you, who will tell all the things that you are supposed to do, and who's going to support you in what I want you to do. You will be able to do things that you are supposed to do as godly people, as the message tells you, as what I have given you the message, it's going to have to be go forward, not only to the 12, not only to 3,000 who had the Holy Spirit, but it has to go beyond that. It has to reach throughout the world. Whoever asks of it, whoever asks of the Holy Spirit, I'll give it to you. And this Holy Spirit will live in you forever. Holy Spirit is a gentleman. He's not going to gate crash in us. He's not going to force us himself in us. But He's going to wait by your, within you or by your side. And when you say, come Holy Spirit, I need you. And He walks in. And He sprung into action. Let us see. Let me read out to you what the Holy Spirit is. Here we have an untranslatable word, Greek word, that is parakletos. This word is, the authorized version translates as comforter. Yeah, we all heard that word comforter. And we must have heard advocate, the Holy Spirit advocate, comforter, Spirit of Truth. It can only when examine this word parakletos in detail that we catch something of the riches of the doctrine of the Holy Spirit. The word parakletos really means someone who is called in. Someone who is called in. But why? What will that person do if you're calling somebody in? But it is the reason why the person is called in which gives the word its distinctive, clear associations. The Greek used the word in the wide variety. Parakletos might be a person called in to give witness to the court of law in someone's favor. First, he might be an advocate called in to plead someone's cause when someone was under the charge which would issue a serious penalty. Can you think of somebody right now? Do you have somebody in your church who was facing these situations? He might be a person called in when, for example, a company of soldiers were dispersed and dispirited to put new courage into their minds and hearts. To give witness to the court of law and in someone's favor. Always a parakletos is someone called in to help when a person who calls in him is in trouble or distress or doubt or bewilderment. See, these are the characteristics of the Holy Spirit. These are the functions of the Holy Spirit. When we call upon the Holy Spirit, when we invite the Holy Spirit in our lives, we get all this power within us. We don't realize this. We don't realize that we are so powerful. We are so, safe. Our lives, our character, everything is safe when we call upon the Holy Spirit. Because this Holy Spirit, remember, God planned when Mary was pregnant, when God chose Mary to be have a child, that was the time this plan started. It was not that the Holy Spirit was not there before, but this form of Holy Spirit, so that it stays with humanity forever, he sent Jesus Christ. And then when Jesus Christ was leaving the world, he sent back the same Holy Spirit of God to us. By faith, in sincerity, you call upon the Holy Spirit and he says, yes, I am there. Whenever you face such situation, whenever you are in a doubt, whenever you are in a difficulty that is beyond your control, beyond my control, we can invite the Holy Spirit and ask. The Holy Spirit will do anything that you cannot do. As human beings, we have limited power. But with the power of the Holy Spirit, we have all the power on earth. And if you remember, there was somebody in our church who was in that situation, who needed an advocate, who had to face the judge, who had to go through imprisonment, who had to face everything without any cause, without any fault, without any purpose, because the charges were so strong against that person. Nobody could have helped. And that was the time when 9/11 happened after that. So this person was in a situation, even if you try to explain, this person couldn't have done that. So how did Holy Spirit work? The Holy Spirit knew that this United Methodist Church congregation is faithful. God knew. See, that person could have gone to any church. That person was new into this country. But God led her. That person did not find out on YouTube or online searches or nothing. She was led to this church. And this situation happened, and the whole church geared up into action to give letters, to get an advocate. And that advocate and the judge that she was supposed to be in court was the worst judge I heard. On immigration. And this person was standing before a judge who's worst on immigrants. And God sent an advocate, a Methodist advocate, to bring this person out. And who's this person? That person who's standing right before you at the pulpit. This is how the Holy Spirit works. He knew that his faithful people in this church will definitely gear up into action and reach out. If you don't know, I would like to share this with you. You know, when advocates wanted to the letters from the church, they got 130 letters from the church. And about four countries, from Canada, from London, from Billy Graham's ministry, from India, different part of ministries, the letters were pouring in. That person was nobody. Nobody knew that person in this country. The Holy Spirit was working, tabbing everybody who believed in the Holy Spirit, who believed in Jesus, who wanted to know that this, can we help this person? How can we help this person? That is the power of the Holy Spirit. Not only once. I remember when I went, I was in the court when the case came up. I was told by the public prosecutor that, you know, I'm not going to ask you any questions. Just a couple of questions I'm going to ask. Who am I that the public prosecutor should tell me that? He said, I'm convinced. I've read your testimonies. I've read all the letters that has come to. The lawyer has to remove some of the letters because there were too many. It doesn't look naturally, she said. Can you imagine? So a person who has no power, who has no access to anything, the Holy Spirit was working among you guys because of the obedience. you didn't doubt that person, you didn't question that person. And to crown that, situation, when that person walked out of the prison and came back, it was annual conference, New York annual conference. And I was given the Dunman Award for the evangelism. You go to jail and you receive an award? See, that is how the Holy Spirit works. You can see the Holy Spirit, but you know that Holy Spirit is a person who is always with you, who will always help you, who will always tell you what to do, what not to do. Even the stay, 10-day stay in the prison was such a beautiful time for me. Because God's faithfulness, because God was faithful to a person who's nobody. That is the power of the Holy Spirit. That is the power of God. That is the power of love of God. You don't need to be anybody. You don't have to have any connections, any contacts. Your main contact is direct there. From there, the direction goes to different people who are faithful to help others, to choose people and to bring them out of trouble and to invite them to the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, to the fellowship of church and God. I'm not saying that other churches are not good. I'm sure they are doing the same job. I'm sure they are doing the same thing. That was my personal testimony. That was my personal experience that I had. And even when, and not that's though, not only the first time, several times from the day I accepted Christ till today, I can say before God that never in my life I had not faced a situation that was hard, difficult, impossible, but I came out of it because of God's people and their faithfulness. Amen? Am I so serious that you guys are not even saying amen? No, this is a story of God's love, God's power, and how God planned out that He has sent the Holy Spirit to this world. Don't take Holy Spirit lightly. Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. The Trinity is a beautiful thing. It's one God. You know, some people separate Jesus as a secondary God. No. Jesus is the one in the Mary's womb, covered with Holy Spirit, covered with flesh and blood, and came into this world to reach out to us. Even when He left this world, He has sent. He's with us through the power of the Holy Spirit. He is with us. Right this moment, He is with us. When you leave this church, He goes out with you. When you face a situation, mother especially, I want to tell you today, when you face a situation that is difficult, thank God if you don't have any situations in your life. Praise God for that. But if you have health issues that you are worried about, that what's going to happen to my children, this is my health condition, don't worry. Just invite the Holy Spirit. He will speak to you. He will tell you not to worry. The Holy Spirit will guide you and say, and the Holy Spirit will grant you the peace that God promised, the peace that surpasses all understanding, the peace that the world knows nothing about. We know, we have that privilege. Jesus knew that my disciple, Peter denied Jesus, right? 3 times. In the dire situation, he denied. He said, I don't know who this man is. He knew that. He knows us also. We fail Him many times. We have fallen short of God's glory many times. But that He's not going to judge. When we strive, when we say, no, we want to cope up with this. We want to come out of this. Sorry, God. We don't want to do this alone. But we have already done. That will not stand against us. Because we are God's people. He will not leave us. When we look up at God, when we look up at Him in spite of our failures, in spite of our mistakes and wrongdoings, you know, He looked down on us. He came down for us. And He will always be with us. we can never miss his presence in our lives. When he appeared on Easter morning, he was proving that I live. His disciples thought it's over, everything is gone, now what happened to us? He says, see, I'm here. He didn't appear to the Pharisees or the Sadducees. He didn't appear to the hostile Jews. He appeared to those simple people. Right? So that is the proof of his, he lives and we will live in him. What an amazing promise that we have. And in spite of that promise, are we afraid? Are we worried? Are we questioning God? Yes or no? No. We are not worried. We are not worrying people. We are not people who have doubts. Look at the cross and remember the promise that he made. I'm going there to prepare a place for you, and I'm coming back to take you. Amen? Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord.